87. Capitan Otto von Kleine bit the tip from the end of his cheroot and removed a flake of black tobacco from the tip of his tongue with thumb and forefinger. His steward held a match for him, and von Kleine lit the cheroot. At the wardroom table, the chairs of Lochtkämper, Killer, Proust, and one other were empty. "Thank you, Schmidt," he said through the smoke. He pushed his chair back and stretched out his legs, crossing his ankles and laying his shoulders against the padded backrest. The breakfast had not been of gourmet standard, bread without butter, fish taken from the river and strong with the taste of the mud, washed down with black, unsweetened coffee. Nevertheless, Herr Fleischer seemed to be enjoying it. He was beginning his third plateful. Von Kleine found his appreciative snuffling distracting. This would be the last period of relaxation that von Kleine could anticipate in the next many days. He wanted to savour it along with his cheroot, but the wardroom was not the place to do so. Apart from the gusto with which the Herr Commissioner was demolishing his breakfast and the smell of fish, there was a mood amongst his officers that was almost tangible. This was the last day, and it was heavy with the prospect of what the night might bring. They were all of them edgy and tense. They ate in silence, keeping their attention on their plates, and it was obvious that most of them had slept badly. Von Kleine decided to finish his cheroot alone in his cabin. He stood up. "Excuse me, gentlemen, please." A polite murmur, and von Kleine turned to leave. "Yes, Schmidt, what is it?" His steward was standing deferentially in his path. "For you, sir." Von Kleine clamped the cheroot between his teeth and took the note in both hands, screwing up his eyes against the blue spiral of tobacco smoke. He frowned. This woman and the man she claimed was her husband worried him. They were a drain on the attention which he should be devoting entirely to the problem of getting Blücher ready for tonight. Now this message, what could she mean by "could save your ship"? He felt a prickle of apprehension. He swung around. "Herr Commissioner, a moment of your time, please." Fleischer looked up from his food with a smear of grease on his chin. "Ja?" "Come with me. I will just finish immediately, please." And to avert argument, von Kleine stooped out of the wardroom, leaving Hermann Fleischer in terrible indecision. But he was a man for the occasion. He took the remaining piece of fish on his plate and put it in his mouth. It was a tight fit, but he still found space for the half cup of coffee as well. Then he scooped up a slice of bread and wiped his plate hurriedly. With the bread in his hand, he lumbered after von Kleine. He was still masticating as he entered the sick bay behind von Kleine. He stopped in surprise. The woman sat on one of the bunks. She had a cloth in her hand, and with it she wiped the mouth of a black man who lay there. There was blood on the cloth. She looked up at Fleischer. Her expression was soft with compassion and sorrow, but it changed the moment she saw Fleischer. She stood up quickly. "Oh, thank God you've come," she cried with joy, as though she were greeting a dear friend. Then, incongruously, she kept looking up at the clock. Keeping warily away from her, Fleischer worked his way around to the opposite side of the bunk by which she stood. He leaned over and studied the face of the dying man. There was something very familiar about it. He chewed stolidly as he puzzled over it. It was the association with the woman that triggered his memory. He made a choking sound, and bits of half-chewed bread flew from his mouth. "Capitan!" he shouted. "This is one of them, one of the English bandits." "I know," said von Kleine. "Why wasn't I told? This man must be executed immediately. Even now it might be too late. Justice will be cheated." "Please, Herr Commissioner, the woman has an important message for you." "This is monstrous. I should have been told. Be still," snapped von Kleine. And then to Rosa, "You sent for me? What is it you have to tell us?" With one hand, Rosa was stroking Sebastian's head, but she was looking at the clock. You must tell her, Fleischer, that the time is 1 minute before 7. I beg your pardon. Tell him exactly as I say it. Is this a joke? Tell him quickly there is very little time. She says the time is 1 minute to 7. Von Kleiner rattled out the translation. And then in English, I have told him. Tell him that at 7 o'clock he will die. What is the meaning of that? Tell him first. Tell him, insisted Rosa. She says you will die at 7 o'clock. And Fleischer interrupted his impatient gobbling over the prone form of Sebastian. He stared at the woman for a moment, and then he giggled uncertainly.
Tell her I feel very well, he said and laughed again. Better than this one here.
He prodded Sebastian.
Yeah, much better.
And his laughter came full and strong, booming in the confined space of the sick bay. Tell him my husband has placed a bomb in this ship, and it will explode at 7 o'clock.
Where?
Demanded von Kleiner. Tell him first. If this is true, you are also in danger. Where is it? Tell Fleischer what I said. There is a bomb in the ship. And Fleischer stopped laughing.
She is lying, he spluttered. English lies.
There is the bomb. Von Kleiner had grasped Rosa's arm. It is too late, Rosa smiled complacently. Look at the clock.
Where is it?
Von Kleiner shook her wildly in his agitation. In the magazine. The forward magazine.
In the magazine, sweet, merciful Jesus!
Von Kleiner swore in German and turned for the door.
The magazine? Shouted Fleischer and started after him. It is impossible! It can't be!
But he was running wildly, desperately, and behind him he heard Rosa Oldsmith's triumphant laughter.
You are dead! Like my baby, dead! Like my father! It's too late to run, much too late!